This is Elmo Roper, recording in New York. The news of the past few weeks has moved along at a rate which challenges any peacetime year we've ever had. Events as far apart as the Civil War in China, the devaluation of the British pound, our own steel strike, and congressional battles here at home seem to come to us at an unrelenting pace. But for all of the newsworthiness of our times, there are still many people in this country who simply have no idea these things are happening. What might be the subject of a verbal hurricane in the cloakrooms and on the floor of Congress isn't even a flicker of a breeze among many people in many parts of the nation. One of the chief functions of public opinion research in a democracy such as ours is to try to find out where these areas of ignorance exist. And today I'd like to mention but a few of the more glaring lacks of information in the current American public opinion. These informational lapses are oftentimes shocking, but if we're to develop a well-functioning, articulate democracy, it is important that we first know where our lines of communication are falling down. Let's take up some of the more recent domestic developments here at home first. In the field of labor relations, during the past year or so, the pension and welfare funds have emerged as a major source of bargaining between management and organized labor. The crux of the steel strike has hinged around pensions. But when we asked a cross-section of the American people if they had ever heard of the $100 a month pension fund John L. Lewis won for his miners over a year ago, some 40% of the people, 4 out of every 10 Americans we interviewed, said they had never heard of it. And before the much publicized negotiations between the steelworkers and the steel companies were broken off, some 44% of the American people said they didn't even know there was a dispute between the union and the steel industry. Another hot controversy in the labor field has been over the repeal of the Taft-Hartley labor law. Only recently, the president renewed the pledge he made during his campaign a year ago to have the law repealed from the statute books. Organized labor has consistently said that its number one legislative objective is to have Congress return the nation's labor laws to roughly what they were when the old Wagner Act was still in force. Yet for all the bitter words and congressional debate which has boiled over in the past year or so on the subject of the Taft-Hartley law, some 47% of the public, almost half of America, said that they simply hadn't followed the discussion about Taft-Hartley. And despite the fact that the Wagner Act was the law of this land for approximately 12 years, upwards of 80% of the people recently could not correctly state any of the major provisions of that law, or else they confessed that they just had no idea at all about what the law was about. Well, another very controversial subject which we've heard about in the past 12 months is President Truman's civil rights program. Directly as a result of that program, you'll recall, the Southern Democrats split off from the Democratic Party and entered a rump's states' rights tickets in last November's presidential election. It would seem to be a good guess on the surface that almost everybody had heard of the civil rights program during the course of that election campaign. And for those who were somehow oblivious to the program, which called for greater enforcement of rights of minorities, certainly after the filibuster on the subject, which took place in the Senate earlier this year, you'd think that just about everyone had heard about the Truman civil rights proposal. But according to George Gallup, who was the source of many of these facts I am reporting here today, 36% of the people, over 1 out of every 3 Americans, said that they had just never heard of the president's civil rights program. But as a matter of fact, the civil rights program would seem to be relatively fairly well known. At least the number who knew about it compares favorably with those who say they know what the term filibuster means. Actually, some 46% of the people say they have never heard of the word filibuster, which in recent years has become associated with civil rights debates in the Senate. The facts indicate that almost half of the American people admit that they are unfamiliar with this tactic of long-winded, unlimited speeches which have been used to successfully defeat many measures in the long parliamentary history of this country. Apparently, the filibuster has had more effect on the legislative process than it has had on the minds of the American people. The list of controversial issues which have crossed the American scene in these past months has been long. But from these survey results, it's apparent that the list of areas of public ignorance is just as long. Take the compulsory health insurance program, which the president also put forth earlier this year. Congress hasn't done anything about the health bill thus far, but a torrid battle has been carried on by supporters and opponents of the measure. The American Medical Association, which has led the opposition to the health scheme, has carried on the fight in the newspapers, radio, and other mass media. Proponents of health insurance have waged almost as intense a campaign. Yet for all of the sound and fury, 44% of the people say it signifies nothing. For almost one out of every two persons say they just don't even know about it. The issue has been important enough for almost every doctor in the land to contribute a $25 tax to the American Medical Association to pay for its battle against health insurance. But to close to half of the people, the issue does not exist to the best of their knowledge. The battle may be waxing very warmly over health insurance in this country, but most of the shots from both sides have apparently gone clear over the heads of much of the American public. Another of the major developments of the year certainly would be the vast report on governmental reorganization, which was submitted by a commission headed by former President Herbert Hoover. The Hoover Commission report, you'll recall, pointed up large-scale waste in government and said that through a tightening of administrative procedures alone, the government could save over $3 billion. Well, 41% of the people said they had heard of the Hoover report. But the majority, 59%, almost 6 out of every 10 people, said they hadn't ever heard of it. Well, perhaps such events as the Hoover Commission report and the health insurance measures are too technical, too complicated to expect widespread public knowledge about them. Maybe they are just too highbrow. What about something a bit more sensational, such as the House Un-American Activities Committee? There's nothing highbrow about that. It seems that hardly a week has gone by these past few years that this committee of Congress hasn't made some claim of turning up spy material or something about communism. Well, over a third of the people, some 36%, just looked blank when the interviewers asked about the Un-American Activities Committee. They hadn't heard of it, and for all they knew, it might have been a subcommittee of the Daughters of the American Revolution, or a roster of all those people who live in America but haven't yet become citizens. For all of the stories and the sensational charges which have emanated from the committee, and for all the press coverage it has been given, still, over a third of the people don't know what the Un-American Activities Committee is. Well, if public lack of information and areas of ignorance are very widespread indeed about domestic affairs, there are even more gaping holes in public knowledge about international affairs. Certainly the split off of Marshal Tito and Yugoslavia from the Soviet orbit has been a major international development. It has changed much of the character of the Cold War and may have been the largest single deterrent to Russian expansion. Yet, as of the end of September, some 48% could not correctly identify Tito, just didn't have any idea who he might be. And among the 52% who said they did know about Tito, many were very hazy about his identity. Another important development in international affairs has been the activities of American business abroad. Much publicity has been given the President's Point 4 program for aiding the underdeveloped areas of the earth. And in the past few years, a good deal of the activity of this kind has been carried on by American oil companies abroad. Yet, some 46% of the public is unaware of any activity by any of our oil companies in the Middle East. Well, perhaps oil activities abroad are a little remote. Let's take a look at an event which certainly has altered the entire balance of power in Asia, the Chinese Civil War. It is true that some 79% of the people said that they had heard or read about the Civil War in China. But only 32% of the people knew that it was the communists who were scoring the military victories. The other 68% of the people said they couldn't relate any of the details of the civil conflict. Maybe Tito and the war in China are off in the netherlands of the world and are just too far away for many Americans to follow very closely. But what about a friend and wartime ally of ours, Great Britain, which has recently been going through perilous economic times? How many people have heard of the monetary problems of devaluation and the dollar shortage which the British face today? A majority of 56% say yes, they have heard about Britain's problems. But a large minority, coming to 44%, say they just don't know a thing about it. If information about the Yugoslavs, the Chinese, and the British is at a somewhat low ebb, it might be expected that they would be more knowledge about an event which our own government not only took direct part in, but sponsored, the North Atlantic Security Pact. This pact was signed last April in Washington and provides for a pledge of joint defense among the democracies whose borders touch the North Atlantic Pact. The pact was historic in that it virtually committed America for the first time in our history to coming to the defense of people beyond our borders. Well, certainly one would guess that more people had heard of the Security Pact than had heard of Tito. But the facts we have simply don't indicate that at all. In fact, fewer people have heard of the North Atlantic Security Pact than have heard of Tito. It was found that 42% of the people admitted they hadn't even heard of the pact, and another 10% said they just had no opinion about it. So, a majority of America either didn't hear of the signing or didn't know enough about it to hold any opinion one way or another. It might be, of course, that more people have heard about Sarah Churchill's recent wedding or read Princess Elizabeth's statement condemning divorces. But those events are too recent for us to know just how many people have heard about those international items. But the fact remains that on several of the major news developments in the world, such as the war in China, Tito's heresy to Moscow, the devaluation of the British pound, and the signing of the North Atlantic Security Pact, public information is at a low ebb. If the events of the past year seem to come at a rapid pace for many, it is also true that for many more people, the events just didn't happen. They never even heard of them. These vast areas of public ignorance about current events, about happenings here and abroad, indicate that our channels of communication in this country leave a good deal to be desired. Somehow, the news is not getting through to a large segment of the people. Incidentally, but by and large, there is a direct relationship between the amount of education a person has and the degree to which he is informed of current happenings. George Bernard Shaw has said that a democracy substitutes the rule of the incompetent many for the corrupt rule of the few. Those are rather undesirable alternatives, and we don't like to think that it is an accurate statement of the status of democracy today. It's a fundamental tenet of our system that the major direction of our government should be decided by the people. And from what we have learned from 16 years of public opinion research, the people make many wise decisions on the basis of a minimum of information. Yet to make any decision at all, the people should know at least the bare essentials of the problem about which they're being asked to express an opinion. Maybe a good deal of this public lack of information is due to the way news is presented to the American public in our newspapers, magazines, and even over the radio. Oftentimes, and this is particularly true outside of our larger cities, the so-called heavy news, such as the war in China or the Hoover Commission reports, are passed over quickly so that the more juicy items, or more purely local items, can be dwelled on in greater detail. It's been argued that the people want news stories on the latest rape, murder, or fire. And that might be so, and probably is so if the sales of some newspapers is any indication. But somewhere along the line, some kind of re-examination of the informational intake possibilities of the people and the information dispensing techniques of the press and radio would seem to be in order, looked at in the light of the responsibility of mass media to educate in a democracy. Of course, some progress has been made, and there are always those items which combine social significance with downright human interest. For example, who would have ever thought that the high-flown words, artificial insemination, would be well known in the American vocabulary? Well, the facts are that only 30% of the people don't know about that. Some 70% of the people can correctly define artificial insemination as test tube babies. Good afternoon.
You have been listening to Elmo Roper, noted public opinion analyst, in his recorded report, Where the People Stand. Each week at this time, Mr. Roper discusses some topic of national or international interest in the light of public opinion. Won't you be with us again next week at this same time when CBS News again presents Elmo Roper in Where the People Stand. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.